Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's Stu Weber, StuWeb.com, and it is Friday, February the 23rd, 2024. And I have the honor to have Nicole Powers on with me. And Nicole, give out your website. Give us your report for the day.
It's witnessspeaks.com. It's about spiritual warfare, and it gives you tips and articles on how to fight it.
Okay.
Witnessspeaks.com.
Okay. Now, what's your report about today?
It's about the Zionism and banking, and I wanted to give just a brief synopsis of how Zionism and banking, how it shapes the world, and how it's, the conception of it is. And I think your viewers are very aware of this information, and I just want just to review it for them and to give it a clear focus on where we are today and how it's affected us and our policies and how it affects the world and also the negative effects of it. I'll go and talk about Daniel Shulman. He wrote a book called The Money Kings, and in this book he talks about the Jewish American families that came over here and they started banking dynasties, and they are the main architects of Wall Street, and they have influenced the policies of America, especially concerning war financing. And I want to talk about how within the last two centuries, in the 1800s, they came here to the U.S. and they earned fortunes that last generations, and they had a very profound impact in Wall Street, and they also shaped modern America. And you have the families of Goldman Sachs, the Lehmans, Warburger, the Schiffs, and the Siegelmans. The Warburgs started the Federal Reserve in 1913, and you have Jewish bankers who both financed the Civil War on both sides. And the Siegelmans sold, bond certificates and securities for the Union Army. And you have the Mayer, Emanuel Lehman brothers, who pushed the Confederate debt through the back market cotton holding. And after the Civil War, the Lehmans were part of Andrew Johnson, and they went to New York to start the cotton exchange. And I think a lot of people don't realize that that these families are the Jewish families around the world. They cemented their imprint on financing globally. I didn't know about the Safra dynasty, and this dynasty was started in the Ottoman Empire by Joseph Safra's great-great-grandfather, a Lebanese Jewish family, and they were the most trusted banking family in the Ottoman Empire, and they facilitated trade between Alexandria, Aleppo, and Istanbul. And when the Ottoman Empire fell in the 12th century, Jacob Safran, he was the father of Joseph and Evan Safran. They opened up the Joseph E. Safran Bank in Beirut, and after World War II, they moved to Brazil in 1955, and they started the Banco of Safran Investment. Okay? And Edmund Safran, he headed to Switzerland, and then they started the Trade Development Bank, a bank in Geneva. And the family also, through the generations in 1966, they started the Republican National Bank in New York, and that was the third largest bank in New York, behind Citi, I think was it Citigroup? And another bank.
That was my ex-father-in-law, Citibank.
Yes, uh-huh. And so, and I'm going to talk about the DNA of the Rothschilds in Europe. And we have Meyer Amschel Rothschild. He was born in 1744 and 1812. And you had a son, you had Mason, who set up camp in London. And you had James Rothschild, and he was overseas Paris. And Amschel Rothschild set up shop in Frankfurt, Germany. And you had Solomon in Vienna, and Karl Rothschild in Italy. And so out of this whole lineage of family members in the Rothschilds, you have banks throughout all the nations of the world, from Afghanistan to Zimbabwe. And they have their footprints in the Fed, in the IRS, in the IMF World Bank. But surprisingly enough, there's no Rothschild bank in Russia. And see, now we know why Russia just has a hard time on the global stage. It's because Putin had thrown those fractions out of his country. And they have, like I reported, they have always funded both sides of all the wars that this world has witnessed. And I just wonder if this fact was more prevalent in the early conception of this nation. And the average man at that time would have known this. Would we have such a great division amongst the races? And I think one thing that I'm very proud of is both of our people waking up to the fact that we have been manipulated on a larger scale to fear one another, to hate one another, and not realizing there's a greater threat over both of us. And I wonder if the early citizens at that time would have been fully aware of this manipulation, would we find ourselves in this point that we are right now, with the manipulation and the deception of who is really running things? Could we break through the programming? It's the same principle that I talked about when I talked about Sigmund Freud and the Hollywood influence. That you had a few families that created a propaganda industry, no less, to brainwash and manipulate the masses. You have the same model in banking. You have the same model in government. And so when you get these three fractions together, you have a very few families of this world, even through media, who can construct the reality and blind so many people at one time, so they don't even see the truth. They don't even see the manipulation and the mechanism at work, because each one supports each other. And I think this is why I want to put this report together, because until you see how this cross-pollination of corruption and deception, you can't break through the matrix of what you're living under. And I think they play so many people, the rich and the poor, the black and the white, against each other, to the point that you can't even see what you're living under. And one lady on YouTube, I should have got her name, but she talked about the ideology of race, how black people today are not seeing the level of evil committed by their own, and they're excusing it, and they're attacking a president that is only working in their best interest. And I think that's very, very paramount for us to understand that until we break free from those strongholds that are only held by a few families, we're never going to break free from the imprisonment that they got us under. And you think about the policies that are waged against us, especially with COVID, how that limited our freedom of worship, limit our freedom of commerce, even limit our freedom to be with our loved ones. That's how strong the deception is. And it's very poisonous to society. And so that's what I want to talk about. And it's also cross-pollination to the Fannie Willis saga. Because I'm very proud that we have a president that has the resources and has the people behind him to fight this. Because
you're talking about Donald Trump.
You're
speaking about Donald Trump, not this Joe Biden, the evil one. Correct?
Well, he's a Zionist, too. He's a Zionist, too. This goes to everything. He is being controlled by Zionists, too.
I know so, Joe Biden is.
He's a
complete stooge.
And they are going to... Trump people has... Like I told you before we talked, he has subpoenaed, his people have subpoenaed AT&T, and they have all Fannie Willis's communications and also her lover's communications, and he has an expert that knows how to decipher cloud information from cell phones. And they know for a fact, too, that they were together intimately prior to him being appointed to be on the team to prosecute our president. So I am so proud of the fact that truth will always prevail, and we have a leader that's willing to fight for us.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, and that's my report today.
Well, and, I want to add.
No matter how hard Satan tries, he's going to always lose.
Well,
the people that follow Satan, they will lose even more.
Here's a couple things I'd like to add, because I want people to understand. You made a good report on the banking, how it was formed. But remember, I was married to the daughter of one of the 12 disciples of Satan, they call him. There's 200,000 fallen angels that are registered with the National Security Agency under the 1952-2012 agreement, which was extended. They have to register themselves. Now, they possess human beings. And I mean, they do. Like Super Spook Otis Johnson told me before his death in 2017. He said to me in 2004, when Leonard Millman died, I had nothing to do with the guy. Didn't want to be around him. And I mean, he was living like a king, you know, 8,600 square foot, a Frank Lloyd Wright designed house up on Hilltop in Denver, Colorado. Number one Eudora. People can look it up on the internet. The deal was, Otis said, whatever, he said, your ex-father-in-law died. I said, what? He says, yeah, he's dead. I said, good. He says, that's not good, Stu. He says, whatever lived in him lived for thousands of years before it occupied him. Now it's occupying Larry Mizell. One of his goons. He hired these two goons out of law school in 1972. Larry Mizell and the other was Norman Brownstein. Two lawyers. So Mizell, he wants to go in the building business instead of being a lawyer, because Millman was getting 10,000 apartments a year that he could build, and he never put any money out of his pocket from HUD. HUD was the biggest piggy bank. He'd been robbing them since 69, I think it was. So Mizell formed MDC Holdings. MDC Holdings. It turns out to be they've created, I don't know how many thousands of entities underneath that. But Brownstein goes to work as setting up trust for Millman in Denver. Then in 1975, Daddy Bush becomes the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Norman Brownstein becomes his lead counsel at the CIA. Bill Barr served underneath him, the one Trump had brought in. Trump made a lot of mistakes, the people that he chose surrounding him. Now, Mizell got when Millman died, or before that, I'll back up. Mizell, they formed Silverado Savings and Loan. Neil Bush, the vice president, then the president, Daddy Bush, son, was doing the narcotics money laundering from Mena, Arkansas, tied in with the Clintons, tied in with Ollie North, and the whole bit. Now, I caused four congressional investigations, or three, four. Bank bailout in 2008, Silverado in 1990, HUD in 1989, and then I tried the Keating 5, they called it, but it was the MDC 200 illegal political campaign money laundering. There were congressional investigations on all that. And the other was the Denver airport, which never went anywhere because the Attorney General, Gail Norton, she was covering everything up. And then she turns around after she resigns, or doesn't resign, but left her term at Attorney General of Colorado. She goes to work for Norman Brownstein Law Firm. Gail Norton's a piece of garbage. She didn't do anything. The Denver airport, they did so much land flipping fraud 5 years before they built the airport. It cost taxpayers $20 billion. It's supposed to be a $500 million airport, $20 billion. And it had murals of dead people all over the walls and end time prophecy that they thought they were going to come about. They had a Baphomet, the gold-headed demon that came in my bedroom one time. And mural of him sitting in a briefcase. A bronze mural. I said, oh my God. I mean, it was just, and then somebody came in and wrote a book about it, some gal, after I'd exposed all this. So she decided she was going to put something in paper, and she was passing it around her books, or trying to sell her books in the Patriot community back in the 90s. And she was successful because she had pictures of the murals and all the other stuff. But they went in and they decided we're going to paint over this stuff. Well, people can go there now. Go to my website when it's back up. It's down now because something happened. And I'll have it back up today. But there's a gargoyle that talks to you. It's right above my breaking news column. You can see it. And you click on it and listen to it. I mean, a gargoyle. Artificial intelligence. Talking to kids. Talking to adults. Walking through the airport. They call it the Illuminati Airport. They built a secret underground in that airport. I exposed that. I have a video up on my website under videos of the contractor that built it. But it's a concentration camp. No, people like you and me, Nicole, and my listeners. They got a jail down there. It's five stories below ground. Jails. Cells. And they poured an airport runway to the east. So FEMA, when they start picking people up, they think, they just go out there and take a dozer and clean off the dirt off the runway, and they got the building out there and everything. I had them on TV5 in Denver. I think it was TV5. Guy went out, a reporter I was working with, he went out and took a camera and said, what did they pour this runway clear over here for, east of Denver, where the airport's going to be? The next day, they had it covered up. So nobody else could take pictures from helicopters. But he put it on the news. I was working with him. But nothing ever got done. Now, Milman, just real quick to give you an idea, they made me mad because they took my kid from me after my ex-wife tried to murder our daughter, 28 days old, and she had already been to three shrinks. I took her. The cops came. So she agreed to undergo psychiatric evaluation by the state and do follow-up treatment for child abuse, now adult syndrome, they call it. She got away with it. She disappears the next day because I didn't prosecute her. She disappears, she goes down and files divorce papers, and then they paid the judge $75,000 to terminate my parental rights after they threatened to kill my attorney. I had visited with my daughter four times, and they issued a warrant for my arrest saying I would threaten them. I didn't threaten anybody. So I'd have to put up a $5,000 cash bond. It was costing me $500 to $700 each time I went out there to fly out there and rent a car, go see my kid in the utility room in this huge house with a cop sitting there watching his TV, his football. My visitation, it wasn't right. Then I found an attorney after they stuck guns to my attorney's head and Dallas's wife and two kids in the back seat and told him to resign from the divorce case. Otherwise, they were going to become toast right there. He agreed. He called me up. I go to his office later on that day. He's got a gun in his pocket. I can see his hand on his gun in his suit coat. He said, "You didn't tell me your ex-father-in-law was a mob don." I said, "What are you talking about, Frank? What do you mean mob don? He's a mob don." I said, "I didn't know he's any mob don." You didn't know that? No, I didn't. So I'm hunting attorneys. My parental rights was terminated under a default judgment after my attorney resigned. It means I wasn't even notified. And my 30 days had expired. I was set for trial for September and it didn't happen. And this was in June, I think it was, 1985. And she tried to kill our daughter in August of 1984. Got away with it. Never went to jail. Even came to the divorce hearing and the whole bit. And Dallas County sheriffs were there to arrest her because she had a mental disturbance warrant issued for her arrest. Walked her out of it. Bribed a judge. I went to 12 different attorneys. "Oh, you got to turn up with $250,000 if you ever want to see your kid. You got to double the amount to the judge. And then she'll give you visitation rights." I couldn't come up with $250,000. But here was the point. I went after Grandpa. I said, "I'm moving out of the state of Texas. They did this to me. I'm moving out of here. You could contribute money to the judge while you have a case pending before him at the time. The Pennzoil, Texaco case stopped that." Anyway, I move out of there. Go back to Kansas City. Get back in the building business. Remodeling, because I couldn't get any construction loans because he owned all the banks. Millman did. Now, to give you an idea, are you still there, Nicole?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. The banking system today, here's where I'm going with this. When Millman died in 2004, there were the 12 disciples of Satan. He was one of them. He was the Jewish crime syndicate in America, tied in with Daddy Bush. Scherf, the German. Not Bush, but Scherf, I think is how his name is pronounced, spelled. I'm not sure. But Millman took over for Meyer Lansky, the Jewish crime syndicate. That demon that was in him, that fallen angel, jumped out of him when he died in the 70s, and it went into Millman. Millman killed Bugsy Siegel, the one that was Meyer Lansky's, like, treated him like a son. Because Millman was the accountant on some hotel out there in Las Vegas that they were building, and Bugsy ripped him off for $1.5 million. Well, Millman didn't want to get killed, so he went to one of the 12 disciples of Satan that were involved in it, and they put the thumbs down, meaning you take care of him, or we're going to take care of you. No, he's the one who killed Bugsy Siegel. And several people told me that. They all knew it. That was Millman. Well, Millman stole from his own father, GFC Finance, out of Chicago, Friendly Bob, they called it. He was making these loans, but he was laundering money for Daddy Bush's dad, the one that was set up financing Adolf Hitler, who was charged with treason and sedition and had to pay a $2,000 fine, and that was it. He was never jailed. He was laundering the narcotics money for the 12 disciples of Satan. And they were laundered through GFC Finance. Millman stole his own company with John King of King Resources, who was a representative in Illinois, and they blackmailed, the congressman did, John King blackmailed Lou Millman, Leonard Millman, my ex-wife's father, out of GFC Finance. So he got $1 million and they took the rest. They ended up with about $12 million in assets. That's how he got his money in 63 to buy that big house. In 63, I think the ex-wife of mine said, Carrie, the witch. Here's the point. This guy became so big, being one of the 12 disciples of Satan in what he did. John King, by the way, owned the lease on the North Slope oil, or controlled the lease on the North Slope oil up there in Alaska, where they feed this oil all around the world, but it isn't piped to the U.S. They ran a pipe back in the 70s down, or the 80s, whichever it was. They ran that pipe, and they spent millions and millions and millions of dollars to run that pipe so America would be oil free. They wouldn't be controlled by other countries. None of that oil comes to America. Here they built that and the whole bit, and none of it comes here. But John King had the lease on that. It was a special way you file, and it's an auction thing off the government for the lease. He got the lease. Now the 12 disciples of Satan control. There's six corporations with two of them on each corporation. The 12 disciples of Satan, the richest in the world, Milman and Bush, were on one of the corporations. And they're shipping all that oil to Japan and all around the world, but we don't get any of the oil. This is how it works. Now, the 12 disciples of Satan, as an example, when Milman died in 2004, he was worth $100 trillion, folks. All those assets, those corporations, those banks, etc., moved into the control box of and shifted over to the control of Larry Mizell, who got the demon. The fallen angel occupies him today. Now, he's the one that was on the board of directors of Silverado with Neil Bush and Norman Brownstein, etc., laundering the narcotics money from Iran-Contra. Milman created a company called BlackRock or Blackstone. He was funneling money to Pete Peterson, who's on the board of directors of, I forgot the name of the group. It's a group, you know, New World Order Group. He was funneling money to him to buy up shopping centers all across America with that drug money. Well, they created another corporation, entity, BlackRock, Blackstone, whatever the first one was. Today, Blackstone took over the entire Federal Reserve, not today, but in this past couple of years, and they took over the U.S. Treasury as well. They're the largest bank in the United States, and it's all from drug money at Silverado. And they make themselves look legal. Then, Milman had created, before his death, he had created Great West Life of Denver, out of the Denver Tech Center. Great West Life is a huge insurance company that did a hell of a lot of savings and loan fraud, breaking them when all that stuff was going on. Great West Life owns HSBC, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corp, the largest bank in the world. And about every 2 years, one of their outlets, one of the banks around the world, get caught laundering drug money. And somebody goes to jail, some vice president, he gets accused, and he goes to jail, and they're fined, a small fine, and they just continue laundering. Now, here's the 12 disciples of Satan. When Milman died, he had $100 trillion. He left my ex-wife and my daughter and their siblings, left them $50 billion estate they registered with the Milman Family Trust with the courts in Denver to make it look legit. This is what they do, so they can't say, oh, it's drug money. But the $100 trillion got moved into Larry Mizell's control. He was the one that Milman favored because he buried 150 people down in Juarez, Mexico, in some massive grave. They were killing them. And some guy named John King, not the John King from King Resources, but a Denver cop was killing them and taking their bodies down there, and they dug up a mass grave one time, and they identified several people that were from Denver. So Mizell was the killer, more than Brownstein was. I can't say he ever killed anybody, but I know that Mizell was killing them. Now, these 12 disciples of Satan do satanic human sacrifices. You still there? Okay. They do human sacrifices on the summer and winter solstice, the longest day and the shortest day. It changes in December, the shortest day. It varies between the 20th and 22nd. It's always the 21st, the longest day of the year, in Denver, Colorado, at the Old Navari, across from the Brown Palace Hotel. Otis Johnson went to get an order signed by Casey because he was direct assistant to Casey before Casey was murdered. he murdered Casey because he was going to go testify before the Congress that Bush was out of control. And they murdered him. And while he laid on his deathbed, because he shoved a needle in his temple, two goons held him down. Because Elvis went and visited with him when he found out he was over at Bethesda Hospital. They had the floor closed off with security above him, below him. He lived for about 10 days, or 14, whatever it was. He was telling the nurses and the doctors all this crap that Bush had done and all the stuff that he did illegally. All the nurses and doctors who worked on him at Bethesda Hospital died of suicide, car crash, rollover like they tried to do with me, and or gun to the back of the ear or the mouth, and they killed themselves. I don't think, no. But Otis went and saw me. Otis went to the old Navari to get an order signed by Casey before Casey decided to turn on him. So he was ordered to go out there, get this order signed. It was something to do with the Iran-Contra illegal activity. He goes out there to get the order signed. He's told to go through the Brown Palace Hotel, go down the ramp, restroom on each side, men's, women. There's a third door there. Open up the door and go through the tunnel over to the old Navari and pound on the door. He did. So he says a couple big guys came to the door and they look at him. What do you want? I want to see the Vice President, George Bush. I have an order by Casey. Hold on. They close the door. 5 minutes later, Bush comes to the door. You see, let him in. Otis steps in. He's got this black hood on and black robe and all this other. He says, Mr. Vice President, I need this order signed. William Casey has to have it signed. He said, I'm aware you were going to come. He said, Mr. Vice President, I need to see your face to verify it's you. It sounds like you. So he pulls his hood back and he looks at Otis. Otis says, it's you. Otis is looking around. Off in the distance is an infant that had just been murdered. And these clowns are over there passing a shell, or what they call it, like a big cup, like a big wine cup or something, passing it around, drinking the blood of this infant that they just murdered. Bush sees that, and he signs the order. He sees Otis looking around. He says, Otis, if you ever tell anybody, what you have seen in here, I'm going to come personally kill you. You understand? He said, yes, sir, and he took the order and left. That's how come he knew about it. Now, other people had said that they had been there. One was Anthony LaVey, Anton LaVey, the Church of Satan. His son had been there. Up on my website, you can find the radio broadcast with Anthony LaVey, where he talked about they castrated him. He's put a book out. But he was locked up in the tunnel underneath Daddy Bush's house, or Leonard Millman's house. He had a big tunnel underneath his house. He was locked in there with Scott Millman, my ex-wife's brother. And he says that. Because we were bad little boys. In other words, we wouldn't let them screw us in their rear end and do all their satanic crap that they do before they go killing an infant. They molest these children. Now, my ex-wife's sister told me this stuff after she tried to murder our daughter. And she had nothing to do with her parents. She took off when she was 17 years of age. Moved to Phoenix. She's dead now. Now, I know things. And I've been locked up with 1,500 Iran-Contra players in jail. Charges dismissed with prejudice by Richard Mates, the only honest judge in Denver, after I recused the one that issued the warrant for me. Terroristic death threats against Millman never happened. They found out it was me causing all the problems. So they're going to shut me down. I hid from the FBI for a year. I'm written about several books. I've contributed to other books. I've met reporters like Jonathan Beatty that wrote the book BCCI, came to Kansas City to see me, went through documents for 2 days at a hotel. All the stuff I'd collected on him. So he went after him, wrote stories about the Denver airport and about Silverado, and then he wanted to get into the BCCI connection. That tied to the Clintons. Are you still there, Nicole?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Now, so I know things, but you're right about the banking. It's gone on for years because as I asked Otis, I said, if There's 200,000 of them registered with the NSA. That means all the world leaders are possessed. He goes, no, they're not, Stu. He said, Donald Trump isn't. He's not evil. But he says it's the aides surrounding them. Their aides are possessed. And they can read their mind. Ed Slade told me. He goes down with a loaf of bread, element, this all top secret stuff. He worked at Papoose Lake, Nevada, the alien base, made toys for him, U.S. scientist. I talked to him. He took me out to lunch about three to four days a week. Little place at the Holiday Inn, brunch for $4 a piece during the week. He wanted to unload on me and tell me everything about that, because the other scientists who retired on that day, the same day, about six of them were all murdered within 48 hours. They shot him with an energy weapon, put him in a coma for 2 years. And I met him later through some friends that met him. But Ed tells me he took element 115 that Mu Metal's made out of, robotoids they call them. They look human. They got skin on them the whole bit, but they're metal. It bends. Element 116, 117, and 118. And 118 is the polium that they made the flying saucers out of in 1952, because John Lear, my friend, he's dead now. He was a test pilot at Area 51. And I got an interview up on my radio bar. And you go down, my search John Lear in the search engine on my site, it come up. But his dad sold Lear jets in 1952 and took the contract with the government to build 150 flying saucers for our arsenal. Element 118 Napoleon is what they coated it with in order for these flying saucers to enter into our atmosphere without burning up like the space shuttle. They got that big thick thing on it. The space shuttle's all show and tell. These aliens are using the Air Force. Out of Colorado Springs is a big base of these saucers. And other places around the world. Out there in Las Vegas, there's a big base of it. They're at Papoose Lake, near Groom Lake. Area 51, they call it, or Area 52, I guess. That is a saucer base in there, too. I've seen saucers flying in there when I lived in Las Vegas. You could see them at night. Here's the point. The technology that Ed told me, he's told to make fuse all this metal together, these different elements. By the way, the elements are in the Bible code. Israeli scientists came up with a mathematical code called the Bible code. And they're in, I can't even think right now which one it's in. But there's 149 elements on this planet, Nicole. That they're seeking. They were up to 132 the last time I heard that they found. They need those elements, the fallen angels do. I believe what they need. But they use the Israelis to do it. Now, Ed says he takes that loaf of bread down, meets up one of the aliens standing 7'6" tall, a Nordic looking character, at the pyramid north of down there in Mexico, north of the capital in Mexico. I forgot the name of the town. He said it's during the week and normally there's lots of people out there. He said there wasn't anybody. The fallen angel ran them all off, scared them to death. He goes out there, he says, you must be Ed Slade. Yes. You must be so-and-so. Yes. Did you bring me what you made me? Yes. So he goes up and he's got it in a bag, leather bag, and he says, he pulls it out, and the guy says, I want to see it. He hands it to him. He said, now take it out there and set it down 50 yards. He takes and sets it down 50 yards. He says, far enough? He says, yeah, and I'll come back here. I'll show you what you made me. So Ed comes back. He said, now turn around and look out there at the loaf of bread you made me. All of a sudden, it turns into a flying saucer. He goes, how'd you do that? He said, I thought it into a flying saucer. Now you do it, Ed. He says, I can't do that. He says, close your eyes, stare that direction, and start thinking it into a flying saucer. So Ed's trying to think it into a flying saucer and everything. He says, Ed, you're thinking the wrong way. Think over here, back where you were just at, on the left side of your brain. Think over here, think over here. Oh, now Ed, look out there, what you just came to life. Flying saucer. He says, you want to take a little ride out in outer space and see the Earth from outer space? He says, sure. So he took him out there, showed him, put him back down. He says, Stu, you're never to tell anybody this story until after I'm dead, if you live longer than I did. They murdered him in Vegas because of me. He got too close to me. And they murdered him. So these are the kind of people that I've met. Now, Otis Johnson was Casey's assistant. He was also the direct assistant underneath General Flynn, who was underneath President Trump. He was his assistant at the NSA. Because he told me, he said, don't worry about Mueller. If he doesn't do his job and prosecute Hillary Clinton, he says, I'm going to personally arrest him. Well, that didn't happen. Otis got murdered instead. Oh, man. I just turned my head and I'm seeing stars. I need to see my chiropractor. Now, what I learned about these people, they can read your mind. And that's what Otis was saying, that aides surrounding Donald Trump, aides can read his mind, give him bad advice. That's what they were doing. Bill Barr was a piece of garbage. There were two or three others in there. I forgot. And they all turned against him since he won the election. But these 12 disciples of Satan, the original ones, were from the Ukraine. The Ukraine. Khazarian Jews, they called them. Now, the Khazarian Mafia, the Khazarian Jews, okay, is what it is. And there's 12 disciples of Satan, they call them. The 12 richest in the world. Mizell today is worth about $150 trillion. He owns the largest bank on the planet, HSBC, and the largest BlackRock, Blackstone, that controls the Federal Reserve and the Treasury. Now, Nicole.
Yes?
You're quite aware, because I've talked to you about this before, these families. They used to be, here was the 12 disciples of Satan for the listeners. It was Leonard Melman, now it's Larry Mizell. And the fallen angels possess him. Jump into the next one. But the latest ones is Larry Mizell, a guy named Warburg, one of the Rockefellers. It was Lawrence and David, and I think David's still alive. Henry Kissinger that died recently, a couple months ago or whatever it was. Pope Benedict that died, and now the current Pope is the one that's possessed, and he's controlled the Vatican and the money. Then you have Enzwar Ben Shiri, the head rabbi of Israel, Patrick Wu of China, Rothschild, Rockefeller, trying to think of the others, but there's 12 of them, and there's been several of them die in the past few years. So somebody else took over for them that I haven't kept up with, don't care to. But they're the ones worth over $100 trillion apiece. And here's how bad it is in America, the economy. In 1981, when Daddy Bush took office as vice president, these numbers come from what's called the General Accounting Office. That's the watchdog for the U.S. Congress and Senate. They carry badges and guns. But they don't make arrests of anybody. They report to the Congress and Senate their findings. They get their numbers from the currency or the IRS. They get them from the different agencies of government that monitor everything. And they report to Congress. In 1981, the General Accounting Office said that 1% of the population, meaning Milman and Bush and so forth, control 20% of the GDP, the economy, straight across the board. In 2012, the General Accounting Office said that 95% of the economy was controlled by 400 men now. They're goons. 400 men. And that means you and I have nothing today. And they're in control. Mizell's in control of one pension group through Fidelity Banks out of Denver. He controls 49% of all the pension funds. And this is all of us are people out here working for them and their corporations and so forth, and they have to contribute, and then 5 years later their pension fund disappears, they have a big loss, and it's the NASDAQ where they're doing it. And they're consolidating. Larry Mizell, after bank bailout 2008, he got fined, asset investors, for creating mortgages out of thin air. J.P. Morgan got nailed for $16 billion. Mizell got nailed for $2.5 billion because of me. Government's never paid me my reward. They owe me. Now, Mizell turns around to help J.P. Morgan out. He buys the other 42% of the pension funds that J.P. Morgan controlled, and he did it through Great West Life, and they had an office in Overland Park, Kansas, where I used to live and build. They had an office there controlling 42%. Now, I don't know how much pension funds are controlled, but they're controlling the pension funds. And they're controlling the economies of the United States. I mean, 500 men, or 400, I think they said 400 men. That leaves you without anything. It leaves me without anything, Nicole. And you take a look at, you look at these three, Vanguard and two other entities that they've set up. They're going in and stealing people's equity in their homes. We own your house. We bought it from such and such a financial company. No, you don't. I'm paying my mortgage over here to so-and-so. They're paying their mortgage to Mizell. Yeah, one of his entities. Well, they represent you. Oh, no. We don't have attorneys to represent you. If you got that, you got to pay one yourself. They've stolen about 15,000 houses, the last count I saw. And I've heard Vanguard and these other two entities, they're way beyond that. And they come in and say, oh, we own your house. And they file it in court. And you're kicked out of your house. And they take your house. And your equity with it. So you say you only owe 10 grand on your house and it's worth $250,000. They just walked away with $240,000 out of nowhere. And that's what they're doing. Then they turn around, take these houses and rent them. And they're buying up houses all across the country that someone, a realtor, put it on the market, say, for $250,000. And they go in and offer them $10,000 or $20,000 more. Sign right here. They're pulling everything underneath their umbrellas. There's no chance for anybody in America unless we get a good president back in like Donald Trump that tried to change things. And for him to have a knowledge of understanding. He claims to be a Christian. His wife definitely is. He believes in Christ and God. He did marry a Jewish girl, or two of them before. This one, Melania. But we're at a point now where Israel, who's part of this Khazarian Jews, the Ukraine, Greater Israel, are the ones over there slaughtering true Hebrews of ancient times, the Palestinians. They got the bloodline. And they're killing them all off. They're driving them out of there because they want that gas and oil along that coast. And Larry Mizell bribed Omar, the president of Israel, not the prime minister, Netanyahu, but Omar. He got off the charges. They beat it in Supreme Court in Israel. Omar finally got nailed for the 12th bribe from somebody. And they sent him to jail for 6 years. He might be out now. Are you still with me, Nicole?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
It comes down to the control box are these Jews. And all these bankers, the highest bankers, and you mentioned it earlier, they were all Jews. They still are all Jews. All of them. They don't believe in Christ. They crucified, their bloodline crucified Christ, Jesus. I believe in Christ. Totally. It's the only reason I'm breathing. I know that. But we got work to do. And the people, they don't understand. We're getting ready to go to war. I'm very, very, very serious about this. We're getting ready for World War III. And here's why. China, the leader over there, I forgot his name, he told his military, be prepared to attack the United States. And they're like, whoa. I heard he executed two of them that refused. He said, I'm not going to be involved in that. No, that caused World War III. Oh, that bombed the shit out of us. Yeah, we would. Now, Russia is tired of these fake Jews. I support them. They put up nukes out in outer space on a platform, several of them. About a half a dozen nukes. They got them flying over the United States. This is about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I publicized it on my website. Putin's not a bad guy. He brought Christianity back to Russia, folks. if you had a Bible or you were trying to preach Christ before he became the president about 24 years ago over there, they'd execute you. It was against the law. It was a death penalty immediately. They'd just shoot you. The leaders over there. He brought churches back. He brought Bibles back. You could have Bibles in Russia. Putin's not a bad guy. Now, Tucker Carlson, they're so mad at him because he interviewed him recently. I put that up on my website. It's under breaking news column. And they're mad at him for going over there and interviewing Putin. Putin doesn't want this war going on. He doesn't want any of this crap going on, basically. But we've got problems. Our problem is we're supplying all the weapons over there to the Ukraine because of this Biden and this female who works for the State Department. What's her name? Nicole? Nuland. Victoria Nuland. Victoria Nuland.
Nuland.
She's pushing for World War III. And she's made the comments. She's saying by March of 2024.
Victoria.
Yeah, this next month, that we will be in World War III. She's pushing it. She's a New World Order pig, and if you look at her resume, that's up on my breaking news column. Look for Victoria Nuland. Read what all that... She served under Obama. She served under Clinton. She served, since then all the way up at the State Department. These are the kind of clowns that are pushing this New World Order. Greater Israel. It's all about the Jews. They've already resurrected their temple. It's not the Wailing Wall, folks. They resurrected the original temple. Built a brand new one. The Wailing Wall was the Roman soldiers' fort. And Christians think that's holy place, go kissing the wall. No, it isn't. It's in Davies, I think it's called. It's about 6 miles south of there. And remember, it was those rabbis who wanted Christ dead, and the Romans did it for him. Crucified him. Yeah.
It's their own Jewish apocalypse. They're looking for their savior to come.
That's very true. Now, if you see the flag that flies on the Israeli flag, it's a symbol of the devil. And I'm looking for the scripture right now, but it's a symbol. And I want to get it up on my site for people to understand that, because I got the flag flying up there, Israeli flag at the top of my website. And right underneath it, I'm going to put the scripture where people can find it. It's in the New Testament. And you can see it. But it's satanic. It's satanic. And that's all we're up against right now. Satan. Because what does he want to do? He wants to kill 2/3 of mankind. Get them off the planet. And if you look at everything that's happening here to our country and all around the world now, everybody's getting prepared for war. Even Switzerland. The leader over there telling everybody to be prepared. We're getting ready to go to war. World War III. So all I do tell people is to stockpile. Get cans of food. Get some hand can openers, some good ones that'll work for a while. Be prepared. Get that extra wood. If you got meat or something, you refrigerate it, because the first thing they're going to do, they're going to EMP us. I think it's called EMP. They'll knock down the power grid. They'll knock down the phone system. They'll knock down the computers. Everything's going to black out. Now, yesterday, there was a big blackout on AT&T because I got a Wi-Fi from Cricket, cheap, so I can hook up the internet. That was off. I couldn't hook up. I thought, man, did we get EMP'd? What's going on? So I picked my phone up and started calling a couple people. Their phones were working. But everything to deal with AT&T, they were affected. And I forgot how many million it is are hooked up to AT&T, either through the Wi-Fi or hooked up with their phones. They weren't working. A lot of different companies under AT&T umbrella. But it was about 1/3 of America's communication system was knocked down yesterday. in case people didn't know it. And it had been that way since about 11 o'clock the night before that I was unaware of. I didn't realize until I got up around 7 or 7:30 and tried to get on the internet, couldn't. That's what will happen. They'll knock down all the communications. So if all of a sudden the communications is all gone, you better be prepared, because that's what we do to a country before we attack them. We knock down their communications with the EMP. It's satellites. They can just hit the country with a satellite, it's over with. And think about it. No electricity, no communication. Your refrigerator, first thing you're going to be doing is hoping that you cook fast enough to meat that's in there, if you have any. But, Nicole, you're still there, aren't you? Do you want to add to anything I've said? Please do. Now, your dad worked for the government. Your father worked for the government, so did your mother, without getting into it. But your dad was driving around Washington, D.C. in an electric vehicle that drove itself, that they were all part of, the development of it. And driving around there, that was back before Tesla cars ever came out, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he was involved in different stuff, like my father. He had a top secret clearance in Kansas City, and he developed toys for the government, too. He went down and he taught dough inspectors at the Department of Energy down there in Los Alamos for his retirement how to do their job, because he was in charge of quality reassurance at Bendix in Kansas City. Okay? But your dad knew stuff. My dad knew stuff. My dad never revealed to me. What do you do for a living, Dad? And he looks at me when I'm about 16 years of age. He says, I'm going to make cups, saucers, and spoons. I said, you're lying to me. He just grins and walks away. It was Otis Johnson, and it was people that I was in jail with and stuff that told me what he made, what toys they made. And believe me, they made some sophisticated stuff. We've got stuff that nobody knows about, and I wouldn't dare even reveal. But I want people to know the technology that they have. We're going to have, in my opinion, a false invasion of aliens. They're going to take the U.S. Air Force, which are the bad side. They're controlled by the aliens, the fallen angels. Then you got a fleet of these flying saucers that the naval intelligence uses. And Navy intelligence is the clean guys. The bad ones are the Air Force. And they've had some fights. They've had fights over Arizona. They've had fights other places, knocking each other out of the air. We're going to see an invasion. And they're going to come back, and everybody's going to think, oh, you know, this is the return of Jesus Christ. Oh, no. Mm-mm. He's here and now. But they're going to pull a fake firefight or fake saucer thing to scare the hell out of everybody. Try to make them comply. I see things.
They're going to put everybody in FEMA camp doing that.
Yep. That's what they are going to do. Yep. And they got a big one out there at the alien base out there at Bluffdale, because they got an alien base next to it, and it's three floors below ground. And that's where the communication is being operated from, owned by private contractors for the U.S. government. They got one down near Wichita, Cheney Reservoir, that attacks my website consistently. They're always trying to break it and tear it down, which is down right now, but that was because of my mistake. It'll be back up sometime this evening. But I'm just telling people, there's one over there in Virginia. There's one down in Florida. There's one up in New York. I mean, they got, and what's interesting is the Israeli government, not the government, the U.S. government's telephones and their internet system that our employees of the U.S. government use are owned by a private contractor out of Israel. Now, is anything secret about our government? No. Israel knows it all. And who crucified Christ? The Israelis. The fake Jews back then. They wanted him dead. Because they knew he was God. And they couldn't handle it. Now they have that temple. And that temple, the Antichrist, is going to walk in there and declare himself to be God. And he's going to go nuts on the whole planet. I think it's going to be any day. Because they're saying a couple rabbis out of Israeli papers. Oh, the Messiah. The Messiah. He's alive. I've seen him. I've seen him walk in the streets in Jerusalem. Oh, do you want to add any of that?
I think that all this is coming to pass the way Scripture has been written, and I think we just have to be mindful of the times that we're living in. We have to examine ourselves daily to make sure we're ready in the event that, you know, Christ does appear to avenge his kingdom and to collect his bride. I want to be ready. I want those around me to be ready. I want everyone to be ready to be a part of the new, what's called the millennial reign of Christ. I want to be a part of that. And I just hope and pray that I'm worthy to escape the destruction that's going to be a place on this planet. And I would not want to be here in the event of Lucifer reign. But if God has plans for me, I hope I will stand strong in my faith to overcome any evil towards me and those around me. And I just hope that I stand firm in my faith in any adversity. That's it.
Well, do you want to close this? You want to close this with a prayer?
Yes, I do. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity for us to share the truth and to share our faith in you and your Son, Yeshua, Yamashiach. And to thank you every day for the blessing that you bestowed upon this earth and your Son and the sacrifice that he made for all of us. I want to thank Stu and his audience. And I want to thank all the brave men and women who fight against evil on this planet. I want to thank all those who are surrounding Donald J. Trump, our beloved president. I want to pray for him and his family. I want to pray for all those people that are under a false persecution of a satanic regime called the Deep State. I want to pray for the avenging victory and glory in the name of your Son, Yeshua. His enemies, where they falter. And I hope and pray that we all will be at peace one day, loving each other and communing with each other the way you designed us to be. And all the sick, evil things, the deeds that Satan has tried to impose upon us, may it ever be destroyed in your name. Amen.
And I say in the name of Jesus and by his blood and by his stripes, I'm in agreement with you. Amen. Thank you, Nicole. Give out your website.
OurWitnessSpeaks.com.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.